Hey, Susie, tell everyone about the Ultimate Opportunity Savings Account.
Listen up, everybody. If you want to start the best savings account out there, all you have to do is go to MyAlliant, Alliant.com, open up an account, put in $100 a month every single month for 12 consecutive months, and guess what? At the end of that time, Alliant will give you $100. And while the money's in there, you're going to be earning about 3%. It is the best way for you to save. And while you're there, why not take the Stay Smart in 24 quiz? Yeah, everybody. January 21st, 2020. I know. Today is supposed to be at Susie and KT anything, but just let me tell you what happened. So after we watched the inauguration, after all of this stuff, and I thought yesterday was absolutely fabulous on every single level, just so you know, but that's besides the point. And as KT was going through everything, getting ready for today, this morning, she said, Susie, we have a problem. I said, what's the problem? She said, everybody is writing in, at least the majority of people, and their question is this: Susie, can you replay the webinar that you did last Thursday? We didn't get a chance to watch it, and now it's no longer available. I thought, uh-oh, what can I do? So I thought, I know, we'll just make it a podcast, and we will replay it today. So that's exactly what we're going to do. Just so you know, as you're listening to it, you're going to hear a man's voice. That man is Reed Tracy, CEO of Hay House Publishing, who has been my partner for over 20 years now in creating the must-have documents, the publisher of the Ultimate Retirement Guide for 50 plus, and I just love the guy. So that's who that is. So take a listen and just know this coming Sunday, I'm going to be going over all the things that got signed into legislation yesterday and possibly today and tomorrow, who knows, and give you a total update now that we know exactly what is happening. So enjoy the webinar. I actually think it was the best one I've ever given. And you will, in my opinion, learn a lot. Hope you enjoy.
Hello, everybody. It's Reed Tracy. Welcome back to another edition of the Susie Orman webinar. Susie's been guiding us through 2020, and she's done a great job helping us get through this difficult year. But now we're into a new year, and there's more crazy things happening in the world. And I just am wondering, Susie, what do you think 2021 is going to bring for us?
You know, Reed, first of all, hi, everybody. 2021 was a year that I know everybody was thinking, oh my God, thank God 2020 is over. 2021 is going to be absolutely fabulous. And I hate to say it, and I'm not being pessimistic here, everybody. I'm just being realistic. I think 2021 could actually, in its own way, present a whole lot more problems, believe it or not, than 2020 did. And this is the reason why. In 2020, when this first started, and we first were doing these webinars, Reed, I was saying, put your cash in, call your creditors, you're not going to have to pay your mortgage, you don't have to pay your rent, you don't have to pay your student loan, car maintenance are being postponed, life insurance is being postponed, all this stuff, the government and the private entities were standing behind everybody saying, you don't have to pay us, you have 9 months of a moratorium, so you didn't have to make payments. All of those things are gone. here we are in 2021. And now, unless something changes, you could be evicted very shortly. Your student loan payments are going to be due again. Your mortgage payments are due. The unemployment is less than it was a year ago. So we have less money and less outs to really do anything with the money that we do have. And we still have 9.2 million people in the United States that are out of a job, and most of those jobs are not going to come back. So we don't have the leniency, or we don't have the support anymore to be able to get by like we did a year ago. So that seriously concerns me. And I understand very well that we have a vaccine, and that's great, but you're all seeing right now that there's no way to really get vaccinated at the rate that we need to get vaccinated. So when will that come into play? Will we have jobs? Will we be able to be vaccinated? What's happening in the government? I mean, we saw what happened last week. We saw what happened yesterday. I mean, these are historic times. So I think what we really need to do is understand, what do we need to do to help ourselves? Because I'm not sure that the government's going to be able to help us at all. I don't think corporations are going to be able to help us. So we're going to have to be financial warriors, in my opinion, Reed, and make the right steps, especially in the year 2021.
So as we head into 2021, what are the top couple things that we really need to look to do, like in order to secure ourselves? I agree, like, so many things have changed, and the government has to stop helping at some point. And we can't depend on the government, I guess, because it's up and down. And so one minute we're getting $600, the next minute $2,000. Now, what do we do in these times, these unpredictable times, really, is what it is.
So it depends who you are, and it depends the situation that you're in. You know, because there are millions of people who are living with nothing, absolutely nothing. And then there are those out there, and I'm sure many of them are watching right now, that they still have their job. They still have income coming in. It's costing them less this year and last year to work because they don't have to pay to go into work. They don't have to buy clothes to go into work. So there's almost like there's the protected and the unprotected. So we have two different groups of people now, Reed, that we really need to address. Those that are the have-nots and those that are the haves. And then the question becomes, can the haves help the have-nots? Now, that's an interesting thing that I think we should explore as well.
Right. So let's start with the haves. What should the haves do? Like, how should they look at investing? Should they look at their 12-month emergency fund to make sure that they have that in place? I know that you upped it from 8 to 12 months. Is it still 12 months or where are you?
Or is it 12 years now? What is it?
12 years, like what is it?
What is it? All right, first of all, why did I up it from 8 months to 12 months? Because 8 months wasn't long enough. Think about it. All of you write me and you tell me, Susie, we followed you forever. We had an 8-month emergency fund and now it's gone. We don't have any emergency fund anymore. If only we had had just a little bit more. Here's the truth, everybody. You can't have too much money in an emergency fund. You can't. Because you don't know. Forget the pandemic. Forget the economy. What if you yourself, and many of you, it's no secret, you know, I had a major operation last year, and thank God that I have the money to get through, even if I never worked another day. But I was thinking as I was at the doctor's really just yesterday, what if I didn't have money? What if I couldn't do everything that I need to do? What would I do? Especially if I didn't have income coming in. So 12 months is the new target. That's all I want you to do is at least strive for it. Now, I know a lot of you are going to say, Susie, there is no way that I can save 12 months of an emergency fund. I can't even save $50. Something is better than nothing. And don't you ever forget that your thoughts create your destiny. If you think you can't, you never will. So it is important that the words that you use are words of encouragement to yourself, are positive words. I'd rather have $100 than 50. I'd rather have $50 than 10. I'd rather have 10 than 5. So just go into it with that attitude. Something is better than nothing. So the very first thing for the haves, all right, you've used up your emergency fund, maybe. You have money coming in now. You still have to be very, very careful. This is not the time, just because everything's going great for you, that you think it's always going to go great for you. This is the time that you really cut back, everybody. You do live below your means. You save as much money as you possibly can. You fund your retirement accounts to the max. You make sure that your retirement accounts are Roth retirement accounts. You really don't spend the money just because you're making money. So this is the time, if you have money coming in, you cut back as much as you possibly can so that you can build up your coffers to way beyond 12 months. So you have fully maxed your retirement accounts and everything. So that's what I would be doing, Reed, if I had money.
Right. And so let me just ask you one more thing about the emergency fund. So like I'm saving, and I know that it's probably going to take maybe like if I had a drawdown, it's going to maybe take a year, 2 years, maybe even 3 or 4 years to build it back up. Should I keep that money like in a savings account? Should I invest it in the stock market? Where should I put that money?
Well, there's actually two questions there, Reed. It's not only where should you put it, which I'll answer in a second, but it's how much should you keep in there? Because the truth of the matter is, when I say an emergency fund, a lot of people go, well, what is that? What do I have to pay for? Like what does that mean, Susie? I want you all to go through your bills. And there are bills that you have got to pay. You've got to pay your rent. You have got to pay your utilities. Maybe you have to pay your phone bill, whatever it is, your student loan payment, your car payment. There are bills that you have got to pay no matter what happens. You don't have to go out to eat. You don't have to go and buy new clothes. You don't have to go to the movies if they ever open up again. You don't have to do any of that. But what do you have to do? List them. You don't have to go on vacation. You don't have to give gifts. You don't have to do any of that. How much does it cost you every single month to live that you have got to pay? It's 12 months of that amount, Reed. Now, next. And I don't even know how to say this, but what's so sad today is because interest rates are so low, there's really no place that gives you an incentive to really make you want to save. And so I don't know if you remember, Reed, but back in 2007, 2008, when we were going through the crisis back then, I had decided, I know, I'm going to create what's called a Save Yourself account where people were paid to save. And 150,000 people took me up on that, never made a penny from it, but it gave them incentive to save. And I thought to myself, I have to do that again. Oh my God. This is a situation where if you don't have an emergency fund, you really want to start one, or you have one and you don't know where to keep it, I'm going to tell you what I created. You have to know I am not making a penny from this. Hey, House doesn't make a penny from this, but this was created to help all of you. So I want you to just think about this for 1 second. What if I told you that we created a way for you to be paid to save? Now, listen to me closely, everybody. I formed an alliance with Alliant Credit Union. All of you know that banks are not my favorite entities, and I really like credit unions, but I needed a credit union that was, number one, the best of breed. It was rated the best credit union. So if you were to Google best credit union, it would come up. CNBC named it the best credit union, NerdWallet best credit union, Kiplinger's best, all of them. It's the best credit union out there. And I needed a credit union that was available to everybody in the entire United States. So Alliant Credit Union is one of the largest online credit unions in the United States, and every single one of you can apply to be a member of this credit union, number one. Number two, currently, they are giving the highest interest rate, 0.55%, that you're going to find almost anywhere. But here's what's different. If you just put at least $100 a month every single month into the Alliant Credit Union account, and we are calling it, by the way, the Ultimate Opportunity Savings Account, because this absolutely is the ultimate opportunity you are ever going to get anywhere. If you just put $100 a month at least into the Ultimate Opportunity Savings Account, at the end of 12 months, Alliant is going to give you $100 in a bonus. Now, Reed, do you know that you would need over $18,000 today in a savings account to get $100 of interest here in this account? All you really need is $1,200, and you're going to get that $100 bonus, and you're still going to get 0.55% on that money. No fees, nothing. So if this is something that interests all of you, you should go to myalliant.com, go there, and you can apply to have the Ultimate Opportunity Savings Account. I just want to say this briefly so you know, we do check your credit scores, the TransUnion credit score, because we're giving away $100. Alliant is giving away $100, and we can't afford to be scammed by bots. So if you've frozen your credit, unfreeze your credit, go and apply. Again, it's a soft search. It's not going to hurt you. Just go ahead and do that, and then the account can be yours. And just follow the directions right there. There you go.
That's amazing. That's unbelievable. So they just put $100 every month, and then at the end of a year, they're going to get $100 extra.
What's important to know, Reed, that if during that year they need to take some money out, so they can take it out, not a big deal. As long as you leave at least $100 in there, you're going to be making 0.55% interest, or the current rate. And as long as you have $1,200 at the end of the time, you still get the bonus. So it's not like you can put it there and not take it out. You're allowed to take out withdrawals 6 times a month. They have over 80,000 ATMs. Fabulous, fabulous company. I love them. And you should continue saving with them because they'll always give you the highest rate. All right, go on.
That's awesome. So that's where we start just keeping our emergency fund, or at least the part that we really need to save and keep in cash.
Or if you're going to get your stimulus check, or if you're going to get a tax refund, that's where all of you should be keeping it. Even if we didn't have this opportunity for you, Reed, if you were to ask me, where is the best place out of all the credit unions, all the banks out there for somebody to open up an account, I would have told you Alliant Credit Union.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. So as we're getting our emergency fund in place, we've discussed the haves, but how about the have nots? So like the people that can't afford to save because they don't have a job, or their job hours are reduced, or those kind of things. Is there something they can do to kind of prepare themselves for what's going on?
Yeah. Now this is going to sound very harsh, everybody, but I just want you to stick here with me for a second. If you're one of the, because I'm being honest with you. Isn't that why you love me so? Well, maybe you don't love me, but that's besides the point. But here's the thing. If you're somebody who is living day to day, you don't know where your next dollar is coming from, and now you're going to get this stimulus check. Maybe you're going to get unemployment, whatever it may be. I want to make sure that you always have food in your home. Because it's too heartbreaking for me to keep seeing all of these images that you're sending me of empty refrigerators with your kids staring into the refrigerator and there's no food in there. So at least do yourself the favor, when you get this money that you did not expect to get, stock up on canned food.
Stock up as if this is a financial hurricane that you may be facing, so that at least you know for the next month or two, you will be able to eat. Just that simple. You know, a lot of times, Reed, I get emails and people ask me the question, Susie, I am behind on my rent. I am going to be evicted. Should I take the stimulus money that I'm going to get? And should I put it towards my rent that I owe so that maybe I can negotiate with my landlord so I'm not evicted? And I have to tell you, the answer to that is no. Because how much time is that really going to buy you? I would really rather you stand in your truth and rather than turn over $3,000, $8,000, whatever it is, to your landlord just so you can stay in this apartment, but you can't pay the rent in the next month or two, this is the time that you say goodbye to this apartment and you move in with your parents, a friend, a brother, a sister, I don't know who. But this is the time that you have to do that. But you have to do it with joy. And I'm sure you're saying, oh, that's easy for you to say, Susie Orman. Listen to me. I have gone through hard times. Don't think that I haven't done a lot of stuff. I lived in my car for months. I've faced times in my life where I did not have a penny to my name. And I was in my 30s when that happened to me. So I get having to give up something. But don't hold on to that, which drags you down. Say to yourself, I'm going to be a warrior, and I'm going to get rid of that which I can't afford, that which I don't need, and I am going to create a life that at least I can be stable in. I know I'm not going to be kicked out, because you're always just running. You're on this like rat race, and that's not going to help you. So I'm asking all of you, the true have-nots out there, to get honest. And I know you're getting honest with it, but honest with the things that you have to do to make this be okay. Now, I just want to say one other thing, Reed. Let's go back to the haves for one second. There are many people out there that are going to be getting a stimulus check. And the truth is, they have a job. They're getting the stimulus check because they make under $75,000 if they're single, $150,000 if they're married, finally, jointly. They have money. They're fine. They maybe have a 12-month emergency fund, whatever it may be. I think those people that are getting a gift from the government, if you know somebody who is suffering, they really, if three or four of you haves got together and you could help the have-nots to maybe pay their back rent or whatever it may be, that's what we need to do to help one another. So if you're a have and you're getting stimulus checks that you could really do without, help somebody, one of the have-nots, where they have no place to go to get money, help them out. Because we have to help each other. We have to help each other right now, because I'm not sure that the government is really going to be able to do so. Just my thought.
That's such a great idea. And it's wonderful to, if you can help someone else in these tough times, that's for sure. And it'll make you feel really good too. That's for sure. So let's move back to the haves and talk a little bit about like investing ideas. So there's the stock market. Everyone's talking about Bitcoin. I know that in your Women and Money podcast, you recommended Bitcoin at 11,000, and we know it's a lot higher than that now. Also, real estate is going up a lot. What should we do with that? I know that your advice about the total stock index from Vanguard, I've been teaching my daughter who's 21 about investing. And every time we do one of these, I said, well, Susie recommends this and Susie recommends that. And she's doing her investing and she's doing her dollar cost averaging, which you've recommended to people. But I'd love to get your insights on the stock market, Bitcoin, and real estate for people right now.
Oh, such a little ask, Reed, no problem whatsoever. Let me again state that this year is very different than last year. Last year, during the webinars, what did I tell all of you? I said, stick in the stock market. Do not sell. Dollar cost average. Everything will be okay. I am not exactly saying that again this year. This year, I do think that the stock market will absolutely probably go up between now and maybe March and April. I think we could have a fabulous stock market. But come March, come April, right around there, I'm afraid that we could start to decline. And I hope I am so wrong, people, I can't even tell you. But we could start to decline for possibly a year or two. So I'm asking all of you to be very, very careful right now. Now, I'm just put a pin in that for a second. One of the reasons that I've asked all of you over the past year and before, that if you're going to have a retirement account, I want you to have a Roth IRA. I want you to have a Roth 401k, a Roth 403b, a Roth TSP, is because if you have stock in your Roth accounts, really even in your traditional IRA accounts, that if you do, and you're in a situation where you're older, you're going to need this money within the next year or two, especially because it's in a retirement account, and especially because some of these stocks are up 100%, 300%. There are stocks that are so up, it's not even funny. You might want to think about taking some of the money off the table if, and only if, this is money that you really need to be safe and sound within the next 1, 2, or possibly even 3 years. That's if it's in a retirement account, because there are no tax consequences if you do it. The reason that I want it in a Roth retirement account, and I do not care for any of you out there that are saying and writing me and they're saying, oh, Susie, later on, I'm going to be in a lower tax bracket. It's okay. My accountant is telling me I should be in a traditional IRA. Take the tax write-offs now. I'll be in a lower tax bracket years from now. How do you know? Don't you know I always say to you, invest in the known versus the unknown. The unknown is the future. And how do you even know that you're not going to need your money before you retire? What if your money had been in a Roth IRA and now it's this year? And you still can't get a job and you have this money there. You could take out any money you were originally put in a Roth IRA. You could take it out without any taxes or penalties whatsoever. So can you all just do Roths? Can you do that? But again, back to the question about the stock market. If you're going to need this money within the next 1, 2, or 3 years, in the next month, 2 or 3, you might want to think about taking some of it off the table. You could always go back in, but you should be taking gains, in my opinion. For those of you who have 10 years, 15 years, 20 years until you need this money, all right, you can keep what you have there, but as the market goes down, just continue to dollar cost average. This is not the year, in my opinion, where you would take a lump sum of money. Let's say in March, you're going to fund your Roth IRA. You're going to put $6,000 or $7,000 in there, depending on age, that you would put all of it into an investment at that point in time. No, this is money that you absolutely should be dollar cost averaging without a shadow of a doubt. Got that, everybody? If you have money in the stock market outside of a retirement account, and you have tremendous gains, now you need to consult a tax person, because you have to figure out, are your gains short-term or are they long-term, meaning that you've kept them for longer than 1 year, so you pay capital gains tax on it versus ordinary income. So if you're in a high tax bracket and you sell something outside of a retirement account, you might lose half of it to income taxes anyway, so maybe you just want to keep it. So consult your tax person before you make any moves with any money that is outside of a retirement account that is invested in the stock market. Now, before I go back, Reed, you might be saying or thinking, why do I think this about the stock market? And I just want to give you a quick example. There are stocks currently, major stocks on the stock exchange, that 2 years ago were earning a specific amount of money per share. Their earnings, you know, how much they made. Here we are 2 years later, and now they're still earning the exact amount of money that they were earning 2 years ago, but their stock is 35, 40, 50% higher than it was 2 years ago with the exact same earnings. That is not how the stock market works. You don't get paid more simply because you're earning the same in terms of how you're performing. One of the reasons that I believe the stock market has also gone up so high is because you have places like Robinhood, you have, you know, Schwab, Fidelity, all these places that you can buy now with 0% commissions. Doesn't cost you anything. So you have a whole different group of people buying, selling, oh, they're speculating. So I think that has driven up a lot of these stocks beyond the price that they should be at.
Yeah. And how, and what are your thoughts on real estate? I know that it's gone up so much in the last year. I mean, things are have gone up so much. Should people keep what they have, sell, buy? What do you think about that?
Yeah. A year ago, I was telling you that I didn't think real estate was going to go up, and I was wrong. It absolutely did. And the reason that I thought real estate was not going to go up was because I thought a lot of people would be evicted, a lot of landlords wouldn't be able to pay their mortgages, and real estate would go. The reason I was wrong is because mortgages, they put everybody into a moratorium. You didn't have to pay your mortgage payment. You didn't have to pay your rent payment because why? You couldn't be evicted. So that was like an artificial holding of the value of real estate. And a lot of people who did have money just went in and they started to scoop up everything because interest rates were so low. I don't think that's going to continue in the year 2021, everybody. I just don't. I think this is where really the rubber meets the road, where evictions, unless something happens again with the government, evictions are here now to probably stay. No mortgage companies, I don't think, are going to continue to allow people who owe the mortgage not to pay it. However, the pandemic is as worse as it's ever been. Jobs still are not coming back. So I think that there are going to be a lot of evictions, which then are going to cause a lot of foreclosures. I think commercial real estate is going to go down dramatically. So I am not somebody who would be investing right now in real estate. I would wait for a while. If you want to buy a home, I don't have a problem with that. But before you buy a home, please make sure that you have at least 20% to put down. You have at least a 8 to 12 month emergency fund, that you're going into it with a 15 or 30 year fixed rate mortgage, that you can afford not only the mortgage payment, but the property taxes, the insurance and maintenance. And that your job is secure. If all of those things are ticking for you, go ahead and buy a piece of property if you want. But just be careful, because remember, the value of your property is determined by the value of your neighbor's property. If you have a neighbor that has to foreclose, that is in a situation that isn't good, and maybe another neighbor down the block, that because their tenants couldn't pay and they have to foreclose, and they then sell their homes for far less than what you paid for yours, what they sold their house for immediately transfers over to the value of your home, which is why I want you to have at least 20% down, so you have cushion there in case the value of your house from where you bought it goes down 10 or 20%, which is absolutely possible.
Great. So one of the things that we talk about every time we do this, and this is the fifth webinar we've done, is the wills, the trust, the durable power of attorney for healthcare, and the power of attorney for finances, what you call the must-have documents. And almost every time we do this, we get so many comments of how helpful you've been on explaining these things, how everyone that needs a home, it's important that you have a trust and you put the home in the name of the trust. So I'd love for you just to review with everyone again the importance of these documents. One of the questions we got last time was, well, I don't own a home. Do I need a trust? Or how do I transfer my trust? I mean, my home into the trust is another question. But I know that so many people appreciate you explaining why these documents are so important.
Yeah, you know, I just want to say before I even answer that question is that, you know, here I am, and really in a matter of a few months, I'm going to be 70. Well, can you believe that one, Reed? Anyway,
I'm looking at you right now and I can't believe it. Right.
Well, actually, sir, it was your birthday yesterday, Reed.
Yes, so
happy birthday, Reed. Over the years, over the almost 40 years now that I've been doing this, it's one thing to help people who have a lot of money and make sure it's invested correctly and they have everything together, great. But it's another thing to really make sure that those that don't have a whole lot of money, that those that have debt, that those that have scraped everything they could possibly get together to buy a home, that those that just want to save money and get the highest interest rate or whatever it is, it's these past years, almost 20 years now, I've really dedicated everything that I've done to helping those that most financial advisors don't care about. Because I'm not here to make money off of you. There's nothing that I'm really selling you today. It's like, you know, the ultimate opportunity savings account. I wanted to create that to help you because you need help. And by the way, now that I just mentioned that, there's only a limited amount of these to go around, everybody. So do not wait. If this is something that you want to take advantage of, I am telling you, go to myalliant.com right now and do this because they will go faster than you have any idea. However, but I just wanted to make sure that those people that worked so hard, so many of you, I wanted to make sure that you really had the exact same opportunities that those who had money, they had $2,500 to go see a lawyer and get a will and a trust. They had all of this money so they could get $100 in interest, whatever it may be. So that's what this is all about. And years ago with Hay House, everybody, we realized what a travesty that those people who needed these documents the most were the exact people who couldn't afford to get these documents. And there was just something radically wrong with that. So years ago, and we've been doing this now for 20 years, and millions and millions and millions of these have been purchased. And what we did was with my trust lawyer, we created what we're calling the must-have documents. And the must-have documents are good in all 50 states. You can do it on your phone, on your pad, on your computer. You know, all you need is internet access. And these documents are state-of-the-art documents that if you went to see an attorney, it would cost you at least $2,500. And we created these documents so that you could do these in the luxury of your own home. You don't have to go see an attorney. You don't have to leave. So you sit down, you open up the computer, your phone, your pad, and literally in less than 1 hour, you just simply answer questions. And I guide you through it with this little icon. And there you go. These documents are done. And it's just that simple. Now, one would have to wonder, well, those are documents that you want me to do, Susie. Are these like your documents? If you were to look at My Will, My Trust, My Advance Directive, and Durable Power of Attorney for Healthcare. They're the exact same ones that you will be able to download and do. And you don't have to worry about it because there's a helpline. You could either call the 800 number, you could send in a text, an email, live chat. We're really there to help you. And the main reason that we did this was because if you do not have a living revocable trust, in my opinion, and especially if you own a piece of real estate, you are making one of the biggest mistakes out there. A will is simply a document that says where your assets are to go upon your death. That is all it does. But it does it in the most cost inefficient way possible. My mother has a home in the state of California, let's say, worth $200,000 or $300,000. It has a mortgage on it. The deed is in her name. She dies. Her will says, I'm to get that house, but the title is still in her name. How am I going to get it? I have to take that piece of paper, the will, down to court. I'm not going to take it down to court. A lawyer will. The court is known as probate court in the state of California. It will take 6 months to 2 years. And all that happens is the judge looks at the will, validates that my mother wants me to have the house versus my brother's, and transfers the title of the house from her name over to mine. That's it. Now, how much that's going to cost me? In the state of California, where it's statutory probate fees, it's going to cost approximately $20,000. What if I don't have $20,000 to pay? Oh, well, guess what? The house can be sold simply to pay those fees. Mommy, all she had to do was, while she was alive, create a revocable trust. She does it while she's alive. Revocable, she can change it anytime she wants. Trust is the name of the document. She changes the title of her house from her name, Ann Orman, into the title of the trust, Ann Orman Trustee for the Ann Orman Living Trust. The house is held for her benefit while she's alive, my benefit after she has died. Oh, she gets mad at me. She can change it and give it to my brother. Oh, is she going to have to pay any more money in property taxes? Nothing changes except when mommy dies, because she already signed the deed while she was alive and it transfers to me immediately. I get the house in 2 weeks. Maybe it might cost me $700 in transfer fees. That's it. But that's a big difference between $20,000 and possibly 2 years. And I can go on and on and read. You said, why do I need a trust if I don't own a home? Because in the trust, if you get it through us, it has what's called an incapacity clause. So let's just say you're out there and you're single and all of a sudden you become incapacitated. Who's going to pay your bills for you? Who's going to write your checks for you? Who's going to take care of everything? If you have this version of the must-have documents through us, once you're incapacitated, you have already named who you want to write your checks, pay your bills, take care of your money for you. If you don't have that and all you have is a will, then your people are going to have to go through probate court again to get you declared incompetent, get a conservatorship assigned to you. That'll cost you $5,000 in the state of California. And from that point on, everything that you do with that money, you have to approve it with the court.
It's hard to get the incapacity clause. It's not just like they just stamp it and give it to you. So.
Yeah. But in our documents that we created, the trust lawyer created, one doctor has to simply say, guess what? You're incompetent. That's it. You don't have to go to court ever. Oh, and maybe you're married. Just let's say you're married or in partnership, and one of you becomes incapacitated. The other one then can absolutely sign and do anything, or vice versa. If you don't have that, you're going to have to go to conservatorship again. Don't do that, people. The less money you have, the more you need a living revocable trust. It is just that simple. Listen, It's $69. $69. And not only can you do it for yourself, because you'll get this activation code, you can share that activation code with like members of your family, a few other people, so that they can do it. So it's like giving your mother a $2,500 gift, or your daughter, or your brother, or your sister, or your best friend, $2,500 worth of state-of-the-art documents, da-da-da. And every time you go back, by the way, and make a change, it's free. It doesn't matter. Every time you go to a lawyer to make a change, $500, $1,000. The other two documents that are part of this are the advance directive and the durable power of attorney for healthcare. In advance of you getting sick, you need to give a directive to your medical people, your doctors, as to, do you want to be resuscitated? Do you not? You have to give them directions. And the attorney for healthcare is, who are you going to appoint to make healthcare decisions for you if you can't make them for yourself beyond what the doctor would do? These are all documents, everybody, that you must have. And now there's no excuse. There's not an excuse for one of you, number one, to sign up for the Ultimate Opportunity Savings Account and get that money, get a great interest rate, have a great place to always keep your money, and to get the must-have documents.
One of the things that we promised Susie was that we're going to talk a little bit about student loans. So I don't want.
Oh, I thought you were going to say bitcoins, but all right, go on.
We have to go back to Bitcoin too, because we brought that up at the beginning. So you get your choice. Do you want to talk about Bitcoin or student loans? But we promise people both.
Let's do Bitcoins first. Okay. Right now, today, it's going between 30,000, 35,000. It's all over the place, but it's about 30,000 a Bitcoin. I personally think, everybody, that Bitcoin is the wave of the future. I do think that Bitcoin will probably become our currency and replace the dollar. Now, that's a big deal that I'm saying that. When that's going to happen, I don't know. But I do think that will eventually happen. Why do I think Bitcoin has gone up so much? Why did I tell people before actually it was at 11,000 that I thought that they should buy it? Bitcoins go through a process where they split every once in a while. And when it was at about 11,000, it was going to split, and that usually takes it up. But the main reason, now listen closely, that I think Bitcoin increased so is because PayPal started to offer it. Prior to PayPal making it really easy for you to buy and sell, it was really difficult. You had to have a wallet. You had to have a secret passcode. It was a pain. Trust me. But now it's as easy as going on to a PayPal account. You want to buy it, you buy it. They take the money out of your bank account or your credit card or however you want to do it. You want to sell it, you push sell. It goes right back into your account. It is just that easy. And in the month of December last year, you were able to buy and sell Bitcoin through PayPal with no commission whatsoever. So a lot of people really got involved with Bitcoin. I do think that is going to continue. Do I think that you should currently have more than 1, 2, or 3% of your portfolio in Bitcoin? I do not. Do I think that you could see Bitcoin go from 37,000 again, possibly down to 5,000? Remember, a few years ago, it was at 20,000, went down to 3,000 or 4,000. Now it's back up. I think it absolutely could go straight back down again. But if you're going to buy Bitcoin, I think you should be buying it for the long haul, not where it goes from 10,000 to 40,000 and that, no. Maybe just buy it little by little, dollar cost average into it, $100 a month, $200, whatever is money that you can afford to lose. If you cannot afford to lose money, do not invest in Bitcoin. Bitcoin should be invested in with money that's like, okay, I'd like to make money, but if I lose money, I'm willing to hold on to it until maybe Bitcoin goes up again, or if Bitcoin never goes up again, okay. Was that clear, Reed?
Yep, I think that was real clear. It's just something that you have a little bit in your portfolio to kind of balance things out. But it could be the future or it could not be. We just aren't.
We don't know. And I think given that it's pretty high right here, you know, a week ago it was at 42,000. It's that just go really slowly with it right now. All right, now student loans.
Yes.
January 31st, the moratorium on student loans, not having to pay them, is up. Now, obviously, we have a new president. And, you know, President Biden really is keen on trying to do something with student loans. What he really wants to do, well, he has seven different proposals out there, to tell you the truth. But one of his main proposals is that after 20 years of paying on an income-based repayment program, possibly he just forgives it, but without any tax consequence. The way student loans work today is if you are on an income-based repayment program, and which means that maybe your payments on a standard repayment program, which is over a 10-year period of time, which is how most student loans are repaid. So let's say you owed $500 a month on a standard repayment method for your student loan, and in 10 years, it would be paid off. And if you can't afford to pay that $500, then you could possibly go on an income-based repayment program, pay as you go. There are different options where based on your income, maybe all you would have to pay is $10 a month or $50 a month. But what happens is the difference between what you are paying, the $50 a month, and what you would owe on a standard repayment method, the $450 a month, gets added to the back end of your loan plus interest. So even though you're paying it, the loan continues to go up and up and up at the end of 20 or 25 years, depending on when you started this. Your loan then is forgiven, but the amount of money that is forgiven is taxed to you as ordinary income by the IRS. So if all of a sudden at the end of the loan, you owe $200,000 and they forgive it, you have to pay income tax on $200,000. Now listen closely if you're in that situation. Most student loans are governed by IRS laws. And it is said that if you owe more than what you technically have, you are technically insolvent, and the IRS will forgive that in most cases. So chances are you will most likely owe more money than what you are worth. What President Biden would like to do is at the end of that 20-year period, the student loan, whatever the balance is just forgiven, and you don't have to pay taxes on it. That's what I hope they do for everybody. But I would not count on that. Because even though the Democrats have the House and they have the Senate, it's by such a small majority that we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know. Is it going to be for just federal loans? Is it only going to be for people who make a certain amount of money? There's all these things that we don't know yet, Reed. So the real thing is, just continue to act. Don't stop making payments on it because you think that these laws are going to pass and you're going to get away with it. You know, it almost reminds me when I went to the University of Illinois and I didn't want to take a foreign language requirement. And there were rumors that by the time I graduated, they would get rid of it. Well, guess what? They didn't. Right. So after 4 years, I had to go and take a foreign language requirement and do that in order to get my degree. So don't be stupid like I was. Go with the known versus the unknown. Remember that law I told you about earlier? We know how it works today. Don't miss payments. Don't go into forbearance. Don't go into default because default ruins your credit score. And if your credit score is ruined, good luck getting a job. This is the time that you really need to be responsible with money. And you're saying, but Susie, I don't have any money. I'm not making any money. Great. The perfect time for you to call your student loan people and go on pay as you go, income-based repayment. Because if you're not making any money, then your payments may be zero, but at least you're not in default of these student loan payments, which are ruining your FICO score. Got that, everybody? And who knows? Biden may say, and this is only for people who are not in default. He may say that. So what is the bottom line here? The bottom line is don't wait for the government to change. If you're out of money, make sure you contact your lender in order to go on an income-based repayment or pay-as-you-go system. If you have a high interest rate and you have some income, look at refinancing because interest rates are so low. Nobody should be paying 6.8 or 7.1% on any student loan. Really, there are ways for you to get that interest rate lower, especially if you've had these loans for a long time. And remember that I've always said student loan debt is the most dangerous debt currently than any debt you can have because it is not dischargeable in bankruptcy in most cases. So do not ignore it. You have got to figure out a way to make payments on it.
Fantastic. All right, Susie. Well, you've given them a lot of information. Do you have any final things you want to leave people with today?
Yeah, I do. For those of you who do have 10 years or longer, you have time. You're young. You're in your 20s. You're in your 30s. You're in your 40s. You're in your 50s. Young, right? And the markets start to go down. Do not stop investing. And all of you, like I've said before, should be wishing and a praying and a hoping that these markets go down. Because if these markets go down, the prices of the shares that you're buying every month go down. And therefore, your dollars buy more shares. The more shares you have in the long run, the more money you make. Do not forget that I said that. Do not get afraid. For those of you who want to buy individual stocks, I don't have a problem with you doing that, especially if you want to buy slices. But if you're going to buy individual stocks or slices of individual stocks, make sure you're buying at least 20 to 40 individual stocks or slices of individual stocks so that you have diversification. If you cannot do that, can you please stick to exchange traded funds? I still like the Vanguard Total Stock Market Index Fund. There are other indexes that I like a lot, but that are very high right now and they're very speculative. But if everything starts to go down and everything, you might want to look into ARKK is the symbol of another exchange traded fund I like. I just also want to address that I do think oil is going to go up this year. So for those of you that are older possibly and you're watching and you have Exxon, you have XLE, which is the ETF for oil companies, I would keep them. I would not be selling them because they're all giving you 5, 7, 10, 12% in dividend yields. So there are things out there that you can do. I just also want to say, Reed, this is not the time, everybody, to be buying bond funds, especially long-term bond funds. Do not do it. Do not do it. Because if interest rates go up, the value of those bond funds are going to go down. I also just want to say it makes no sense to buy certificates of deposits here. You would be far better off doing the Alliant Credit Union where you can get equally as high of an interest rate without having to lock up your money at all. Are you kidding me? So don't go locking up your money for 1, 2, or 3 years in a CD ladder or certificates of deposits. And again, just be really, really careful. Reed, I just want to remind people, insurance, if you're going to be buying life insurance, the only type of life insurance I want you to buy is term life insurance. Be very, very careful of whole life, universal, or variable life insurance and variable annuities. And you know, I could go on and on, but that's why all of you really need to tune in every week to the Women and Money podcast, again, free, because this is where we talk about all of those things. And this is where you can also write in questions, and if chosen, we'll answer them on the podcast.
You've given them so many different ideas and thoughts. I'd love just to end in a summary of where you think it's going. And of course, we'll do more of these webinars to keep people up to date, but just what people need to think about right now, at least for the next few months.
All right, you got it. Here's the thing, everybody. 2021, I think, is going to be a difficult year. I think it's going to be a difficult year financially for many. And psychologically speaking, it's going to be a difficult year. And I think there's going to be a lot of anger out there, a lot of disruption. We already have seen some of the wars that have taken place in the Capitol. And I don't know what that holds. I think it is very possible that you could see the pandemic, believe it or not, reemerge again in September. So this is a year where I want all of you to be really, really patient. I want you to pay attention. I want you to live below your means, but within your needs. I want you to start to rebuild that 12-month emergency fund. I want you to have everything in place today to protect your tomorrow, such as the must-have documents. I want you to pay attention to everything and be realistic. If you can't afford to stay in your apartment, if you can't afford your home anymore, downsize, do what you need to do in order to make the right choices financially for you and your family. Understand that 2 years from now, 3 years from now, I think we're all going to be in such a better place in every possible way. But we have like this road that has rocks on it. So we've come off a highway and now we're on this bumpy road. And you need a vehicle that can withstand those bumps. And that's you. So you have to be strong. You have to be a warrior. You have to stand in your truth. You have to do that which you can do today so that you're making the right decision. So tomorrow are the tomorrows that you want to have. Don't be afraid to say no to your kids. Don't be afraid to say no to yourselves. And just understand, these are just things. But if you have faith, integrity, and courage, I promise you, and just take every day, one day at a time, no matter what your situation is out there, I promise you, you will get through to the next day. It just depends on your attitude and the fact. Either you have faith that everything happens for the best or you don't. I hope all of you have faith because that's what's going to take, in my opinion, to get through 2021 for many people.
Thank you, Susie.
You're welcome, Reed. All right, everybody. Take care. Bye-bye.
Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman is acting as a certified financial planner, advisor, a certified financial analyst, an economist, CPA, accountant, or lawyer. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman make any recommendations as to any specific securities or investments. All content contained in this podcast is for informational and general purposes only and does not constitute financial accounting or legal advice. You should consult your own tax, legal, and financial advisors regarding your particular situation. Neither Susie Orman Media nor Susie Orman accepts any responsibility for any losses which may arise from accessing or reliance on information in this podcast. And to the fullest extent permitted by law, we exclude all liability for loss, damages, direct or indirect, arising from the use of this information. The must-have documents discussed in this podcast are legal documents created by a lawyer and distributed by Hay House.